Greetings, Zen Courses Show listeners. You are listening to episode 008. God, I've been watching way too much science fiction. Welcome to the Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, the Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co. Hey, it's Janelle. Listen, are you confused about where to start your online course? If so, I wanted to let you know that I have put together a free one-page online course template to help you get your course out of your head and into the world. To get your free copy, just text podcast to the number 44222. Again, text podcast to the number 44222. Okay, back to the interview. Today, I'm interviewing Corbett Barr. You might know Corbett from the internet. He is the co-founder of Fizzle, an online training and community platform for entrepreneurs. Corbett, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
So I co-founded a business called Fizzle, which is, as you said, essentially an online community and training library for entrepreneurs. And by that, I mean we have around 500 videos or so in a library where people can go to learn things that they need to know about how to build an online business, including social media, including market research, including how to build and design websites, basically anything that you might need to know in order to build your own online business.
Right. So we're here to talk about Fizzle and, you know, how you guys built it. So can you tell us a little bit about the Fizzle story, how it came about, what need it fills, and who it's for?
Yeah. So I have been an entrepreneur for about 10 years. And back 5 years ago, I created my first online course. And it wasn't a fancy video course, or it didn't have, like, you know, worksheets and tests and things like that, right, that you might have somebody take today. Basically, what I did the first go around was I had this idea to write an ebook, essentially. And I thought maybe there was a way I could go just a little bit further and turn it from just a boring old book into something that felt more like a course. Mm-hmm. So I put it online and I put it behind a login, basically, so that someone would purchase access to this course. And essentially what they would get is a series of written lessons that were in a chapter format, sort of like a book, but at the same time, it had a couple of additional features where people could leave comments below the text, and then I would respond to them in line. So that was really my first attempt at an online course, and it went really well. And I believe that I was able to earn more revenue from that than I would have if I had just sold it as an ebook.
Yeah.
So from there, I was really interested in the online course format, and I went on to create four more different online courses about things like blogging, affiliate marketing, about building traffic to your website, all sorts of things that I had experience with that I knew other people would want to learn. And that went well, and I created a nice little business for myself. But at the same time, I started feeling like I had all of these silos of different courses out there, mm-hmm, and they weren't addressing the bigger picture, which is how do I go from nothing to earning revenue from a fully functional online business. I had sort of little pieces of that. And so Fizzle came about to fill the need, partly for me in my business structure, just to unify all of those courses under one roof, and then also to create sort of a one-stop shop where people didn't have to figure out which parts they needed to know. They could just join Fizzle and know that the learning that they would need would be in there somewhere at the right time.
Right. And this is parallel to your journey, right? Because you just started blogging and then you started creating things. And then eventually you launched Think Traffic and studied how to build your audience. So was the impetus for wanting to help entrepreneurs, was it a personal journey for you?
It was. I mean, my history as an entrepreneur started with the traditional venture capital backed world. So I raised a bunch of capital, lived in San Francisco and built a startup, had employees and an office and so on and so forth. And at the end of the day, I figured out that all of that money that we raised and the advisors that we had, they didn't help me get past the simple fact that I hadn't created something people wanted necessarily. Mm-hmm. And money wasn't the constraint. I think a lot of entrepreneurs want to believe that, like, oh, if I only had access to capital, I could build out this beautiful idea that I have. When in reality, money is an accelerant, but it doesn't start the fire to begin with. And so, yes, I think that because I had failed as an entrepreneur, and then because I had learned about this new world of blogging and reaching people directly, and I had had some traction there, and I was able to earn revenue by just selling things directly to other people instead of trying to go about this big convoluted thing where you build software and grow a big audience and eventually, I don't know, poof, magic money happens. It was just so simple to me that I wanted to share this with other people. And at the same time, I just had people asking me. So it was kind of a natural outgrowth of people were asking me about certain things, and I decided to try to teach them online. And it turned out that there were other people who were asking the same questions.
Nice. So full disclosure to my audience, you and I have known each other for a little while, and I am a member of Fizzle, and I'm a member because I think it's a great product and it's helped me a lot in my journey. So I want to dig into the process of creating Fizzle from a learning standpoint. Mm-hmm. So first, Fizzle is a learning resource. It's a online training for entrepreneurs. So what should someone who takes Fizzle, what should they be able to do after completing all of the courses? Let's say they go through everything. What should they be able to do?
So our goal is to take someone who has simply a desire to earn a living through entrepreneurship, take that raw material and turn that into someone who has a business that earns them at least enough money to put food on the table and to start to live a lifestyle that they believe is ideal for themselves. So we're not trying to help people necessarily create the next like unicorn, as they call them in Silicon Valley these days. We're just trying to help people create honest businesses that, you know, earn a living for themselves.
Yeah.
And we have to accept that when people join Fizzle, they have different backgrounds, they have different levels of knowledge, they have different skills, they have different amounts of time that they can spend. So it's not as if every single person who joins is at the same place and has the same skills. So we have to provide a lot of different things and let people, to some degree, choose their own adventure.
Yeah.
Because you might find that, oh, well, I already have a website and I already know how to do that, so I don't need to learn that. But we have to also help those people see that, okay, you have a website, but your value proposition isn't unique or clear enough, so people don't understand what you're trying to sell them.
Right.
So, you know, it's an interesting problem to have because we have over 2,000 members, and we constantly have to figure out how to get people the right training at the right time. And some of it is self-service. Other times we have to provide resources like showing up on a group coaching call so that people can ask us questions directly and we can try to give them guidance.
Right. So how do you guys determine what content to create? In other words, how do you know what will be helpful? And I know it's probably different from when you started to now that you've been around and you have members who can give you feedback, but how do you get that?
Right. So we're actually changing our strategy quite a bit. Okay. In the beginning, about 2.5 years ago when we started, we essentially made a long list of all the different courses that we thought might be useful to someone who was trying to become an online entrepreneur. And there were hundreds of different potential courses. So then we took those and we prioritized them according to what we thought was most useful to our members and what we thought we could credibly teach something, because there were plenty of topics where we didn't have enough, you know, knowledge on our staff in order to be able to teach those. So we kind of scored them according to most use to our members and easiest for us to create. And then we just started tackling them because there was so much ahead of us. We decided to just kind of take a scattershot approach and start grabbing the things that we thought were really valuable and just putting them into the library to see how people would react.
Yeah.
Along the way, we started realizing that there were more commonalities to building an online business and to the journey that our members were going on than we had initially thought. We thought it was kind of hard to put together like a framework that would suit everybody. But now, a couple of years in, we're seeing that there are patterns and that the advice that we give people and the paths that people take who are successful end up looking pretty similar. So now, for the past 4 or 5 months, we've been building this new concept we call the Small Business Roadmap. And this is really a step-by-step phased approach to building a business from nothing to, you know, I can put food on the table.
Right.
And we're identifying the critical things and checkpoints that people need to go through in order to do that. And so that now is going to define our curriculum going forward, because this roadmap will show us, okay, so in, you know, stage three, people need to be coming up with a business plan. In order to do that, they need to do market research. So the market research course goes in there. And now we can look at the market research courses or whatever that we've already created and judge how well they fit this roadmap, this like master plan for curriculum.
Okay, let's take a step back. When was Fizzle started?
In late 2012.
Okay. So I noticed, just as someone who's part of Fizzle, that when it started in 2012, I noticed changes along the way. One of those changes I noticed was the learning paths. And it sounds like this is an even a graduation upon the learning paths. So talk about what have you learned along the way? It sounds like this journey, you guys are constantly analyzing. Do you have any specific approaches or specific strategies that you use or to analyze what's happening in the community so that you can go back and make that part of the changes?
Yeah, that's a good question. We definitely listen to customer feedback every day. We have a regular process of exit surveys. So whenever someone leaves, they fill out a survey and tell us why they left. Whenever someone joins, we ask them why they joined. And so we have this constant flow of feedback right. coming in, and then everything in between. And we use a system called Intercom, which helps us keep tabs on our members and allows us to send them communications based on what they've completed within the platform. So we're getting feedback all the time, but there's a real challenge in interpreting that feedback, because people will tell you all kinds of things. And because it's from their perspective, they think it's the most important thing to the community. But we couldn't possibly implement all the feedback that we're getting. So we have to be cautious and take our time and listen to what people are saying and try to see the patterns there. And then also try to just recognize what our goals are for the community and try to see where those two things meet. For me, in the past, whenever I had built a smaller course on a single topic, I always used a framework to teach the material instead of just just laying everything out and just teaching all the topics that needed to be taught sort of in line. I would try to come up with a bigger picture framework to give to people. So for example, with Traffic School, this was a 13-week course, which taught you how to build an audience of at least 3,000 people coming to your website every month. And in order to teach that, I came up with this thing I called the Thriving Audience Framework. Mm-hmm. And that broke down the things that people needed to do and the things they needed to learn in order to accomplish, you know, the overall goal. When it came to Fizzle, because it was such a big concept, yeah. it just didn't seem like we could come up with a framework like that. So we just avoided it. If I were teaching a simple one-off course, I would recommend that people come up with a framework, because it just gives people something to look at and something to relate to and a common language to use, so that when you have conversations with people that you're trying to teach something to, they can say, oh yeah, well in stage two, when you talk about this part of the framework, I think I'm here. And it helps them to see where they are
right.
sort of on the learning paths and to understand what's left, instead of feeling like, oh, I just have to slog through all this material and hope yeah. that something happens at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a huge comment, and I hope that everyone takes note. And it sounds like it took you guys just time to see the framework in Fizzle, because it's just a huge gargantuan task that you all are taking on.
Yeah, and we I think there were debates on both sides of the spectrum, and to be honest, this roadmap idea that we have right now, it's just a hypothesis. We're going to test it out and see what people think. So far, the feedback has been great and better than we had gotten when we did anything else. But essentially, you know, we thought in the beginning, maybe Fizzle will just be a library of random topic courses and you can go in and pick whatever you want, sort of like lynda.com.
Right.
And then we started realizing that, well, maybe people want their hands to be held a little bit more. So we moved a little bit closer to having a tailored approach with paths. Mm-hmm. And paths were sort of different areas of things that you might want to learn that grouped courses together. And that worked okay. But now we're realizing that, well, let's see if we can go all the way and really just guide people step by step by step through the whole thing. And we know that people want that. It's just a matter of, can we deliver that, you know, in a really useful, powerful way?
Well, it works with the motif. Before we move on, it works with the motif of the entrepreneurial journey. So I love it. I think you guys should keep going in that direction.
Cool.
So we talked about structure. Let's dig into lesson structure. How do you guys approach structuring your lessons? What decisions do you make to ensure that your learners gain value and achieve success?
So we have a simple document that we work from whenever we start to conceptualize a new course. So we have this big master plan of all the different courses that we might want to teach. And a course for us is defined as some sort of specific learning objective that we can teach between 30 minutes and 4 hours worth of video material. That might take someone a day or a couple of weeks to complete, but the video material that we create is usually less than 3 or 4 hours. And most of the time, the sweet spot is somewhere around an hour to an hour and a half. We like to break those up into really small, digestible, bite-sized lessons of somewhere between 2 and 8 or 10 minutes each.
Yeah.
Just because we know that people get busy and they need to move on. They can't sit in front of a computer for an hour at a time. So whenever we come up with a course, for example, let's say that we have this idea that there are people out there in our community who have launched podcasts, but they want to figure out how to grow their podcast to the next level. So the concept might be advanced podcasting. In that case, we'd start with this worksheet and we would ask ourselves, who's the target audience? What's their current situation? What do we hope that they would have learned or have accomplished or be able to accomplish as a result of going through this course? What are the primary topics that we need to teach in order to accomplish those objectives? And then we create an outline for how those topics will break down. And usually what happens is that outline ends up becoming a lesson structure for us. So, you know, let's say we create an outline and there are like 10 primary topics that we need to teach. We look at each of those and we might say, well, that one would be a really big lesson. It would be like too long. So let's break that up into two. And really, we just try to get things down into small enough chunks that we can teach it within a few minutes of video training.
Yeah. Now, do you guys provide worksheets or any additional materials to kind of incite action?
Yeah. So we have two different structures now. And in the past, we didn't necessarily do this. And we look back at our courses and we go, we should have created a worksheet for that. Because at the end of a course, you want someone to have like done something, right? Yeah. And we had some courses in the past that were just informative and there wasn't anything that we wanted people to do. So they weren't taking action. Now we have worksheets or workbooks. Mm-hmm. And we also have just simple action items. So within a lesson, at the end of a lesson, we might just have a couple of action items listed there. And we'll say, you know, mark this lesson complete when you have finished these two action items.
Right.
And the action item might be, you know, record your first podcast episode and, you know, ask your listeners to leave you a review or something. Those might be two action items. Those are simple. They don't need a whole workbook. On the other hand, for example, we have a course called Choosing a Topic. This is like trying to figure out just what general topic my business is going to be on. In that case, I have a really in-depth workbook that helps people identify and evaluate the different topics that might be rattling around in their head. And that's a multi-page workbook. And at the end of that, they've filled out a bunch of stuff and it guides them through the process of going through a universe of different potential ideas down to they've chosen one.
Yeah.
And that requires a workbook to do. And the video lessons, some of them actually guide them through that workbook.
Okay, nice. So one thing you guys do really well is video. So I want to dig into Fizzle Video. And for people who don't know, I would encourage them to check out the videos, at least even the one on your homepage for Fizzle. How do you guys use video in Fizzle from a learning standpoint?
So all of our courses have video, and we chose to do that specifically because we think that it communicates better than simple written material or audio material. Now, I think people learn in different modes, and we took a hard line initially that we're going to do all video. Since then, I think we've recognized that some people like to learn on the go. They like to take, you know, audio formats with them. Some people like to have written formats. And if you create a video, there's no reason you can't strip the audio out of it and turn that into an MP3 for people to use. And there's no reason you can't ship off that audio to have transcribed.
Yep.
So if you create a video, then you get audio and you get written. So you have all three formats. So that's one reason to do video. Another reason to do video is that it really takes all of your material up a level. There, you know, whatever topic you decide to create a course on, there's probably plenty of competition out there already, especially in the form of books, sometimes in the form of podcasts, and sometimes in the form of courses that don't have video. They're just either written or audio. And so if you create video, you're going to stand out. For better or worse, but that also means that you'll be able to capture the attention of people who feel like they learn best through video. So that's why we chose to do video, and I think it served us well. It's not to say that we haven't, you know, gotten requests for other things from other people, but so far it's working.
Yeah, and it works well, and I noticed some of the growth, as you mentioned, you guys are having the transcripts and different learning styles, accommodating different learning styles, which is huge because I, for one, I'm very textual. So I always like to scan the text, and then especially if it's a longer video. So that's great. So what are some things that you guys do with video that are specifically aimed at helping people learn better? So for example, I notice a lot of times you guys will put text up in the corner to highlight things. Are there any other little things like that that you think you'd like to share?
Yeah. So, you know, we have different types of video. So in some cases we have long format interviews with entrepreneurs that people might learn from. Yeah. We believe that role models are very important. And so we like to provide role models to our members. And that I think is very conducive to video, obviously, because we're sitting down over a long conversation and you can really, you know, get to see on people's faces when things matter. Likewise, I think when you're teaching, it's easy to see when something really matters because the instructor, you know, will become animated or whatever. We have a lot of on-screen effects. We like to show, you know, demos of things. For example, we talk a lot about different software packages. And so in that context, we might start with regular on-camera video, and then we'll switch to a screen recording where we're actually showing someone how to use a piece of software. So I think that's a natural fit.
Right.
When we're on camera, we have a lot of text effects that come over. If we're talking about something, we'll have the URL, you know, come across the screen. And, you know, I think that helps. Those are visual aids that help people to digest things better, especially if you're talking in outline format, then to have something come on screen where each, you know, heading of the outline pop in.
Yeah.
Then it helps people to kind of, you know, to solidify those concepts. Whereas if it was just over audio, I could say number one, number two, and that works. But I think even if I'm doing that on video, it helps to have, you know, the different features come over. When we're talking about a website, for example, we can just have a little, you know, image of the website kind of float past. So there are a lot of different places where I think it makes sense. There are sometimes when we're just talking on camera, and maybe it would be fine for that just to be audio. But like I said, it doesn't hurt to have the video at the same time.
Are there anything that you guys don't do with video that maybe might be a best practice? For example, chapter markers. I notice you guys don't use chapter markers. Is there anything that you don't do, and why is that?
Yeah, so we don't do chapter markers, but partly that's because we break our videos up into such small pieces that, you know, on screen you can see the videos are sort of the chapters themselves, yeah. And you could click on the next one to go to the next video. We don't do closed captioning, and that's simply because we just haven't invested in having our videos transcribed in a way that we could do closed captioning. And I think that is helpful, obviously, to people who might have impairments, but also it's helpful sometimes just to see the words on screen because you might absorb more that way. We also right now don't have variable playback speed on our videos,
yeah.
And that's something that we want, but the technology that we're using doesn't support it. So we would have to change our platform a little bit. It's definitely on the roadmap. It's just that there are other things that we're working on right now. So I think there are some technology aspects that make video even better to digest, specifically chapter markers, closed captioning, and variable playback speed.
Right. So getting into the tools, what are, you know, all the bits and pieces, the technical bits that make Fizzle work?
So the website for Fizzle is based on two primary technologies. The first is WordPress.
Yep.
And that's where we host all of our courses and lessons. And the second is, it's called IP Board, which is a forum software. And that's where our community conversations happen. And we bridge the two of those together with a single sign-on solution so that when someone logs in, they have access to both parts. So that's what our website is based on. The course format that you see when you log into Fizzle and you take one of our courses, mm-hmm. that's based on a custom WordPress theme that we developed in-house so that we could display the videos in the format that we wanted to.
Okay.
So the technology for the videos themselves, we host on Wistia. And we do that because we like Wistia's embedding options and we like the analytics that they give us. Let's see, what else would be useful? Another thing that we use that I mentioned before in order to keep track of our members to handle customer support and customer communications is called Intercom. And that's a system that you plug in, and then basically it gives us almost like a customer relationship management view of all of our members, and it gives us the ability to see what actions they've taken. And based on that, we could say anyone who has signed up but has not completed at least 5 videos by 10 days after sign up, send them an email or
right.
have an in-app pop-up message come up. And that's all handled, you know, with Intercom.
Okay. So learning as well as entrepreneurship, it can be ambiguous. It can be kind of hard to nail down. And I read a great quote today that said, we assess what we value. How do you guys measure, or do you have any way of measuring the analytics for whether or not learning is happening?
Yeah, so we measure things like how many videos people are taking on aggregate or individually, how many lessons they start versus how many they complete. We look at which of our courses are most popular, which ones have the highest completion rate.
Yeah.
We look at how actively people are participating in the community and whether or not they're interacting through private messages with one another. And through all of this, we spent a lot of time trying to pay attention to trends to figure out if there was any way we could keep our members around for longer than they might otherwise stay. To say, well, if we encourage people to finish 10 videos within the first week, does that make them stick around any longer than people who don't? We looked for all kinds of patterns like that. And we can find patterns, but to this point, I'll be frank, we have not been able to significantly move the needle in terms of identifying one of these metrics and then changing something about the platform or about the way we teach and then find out that, you know, it dramatically keeps people around for like twice as long or something.
Right.
That just hasn't happened. And we're not throwing in the towel necessarily, but now that we're 2.5 years into it and we've tried all kinds of different ideas, we are sort of living with this idea that people sign up And some people love what we do and they end up sticking around for years. We have some people who have been with us for over 2 years now. Other people sign up, they realize it's not for them and they leave within the first week. And on average, people end up sticking around for 5 or 6 months, something like that. And we might be able to increase that by 10%, or we might lose 10% on that, but it's kind of just what it is at this point.
Yeah.
And Steph, who joined us, Steph Crowder, who's our director of member success, pointed out a framework that we're starting to adopt, which is really interesting to me. She called it the 20-60-20 rule. And that is that for any group that you're trying to help, there will be 20% of people who are just overachievers and who would succeed no matter what you did. And so for you to focus on them and for you to pat yourself on the back because these people succeed is a little disingenuous because these are just the head of the class kind
yeah.
of thing. Then there's the bottom 20% who their life isn't in order. They don't really have the intention of learning. And maybe they just don't have the right skills at this point in their lives to absorb what you're trying to teach them. And so you're not going to make them succeed. So what you really need to focus on is this middle 60% who aren't quite overachievers, and they're definitely capable, but they needed a little extra nudge. And so that's really where we're spending our time. Whenever we come up with an idea for a new feature or a new course, we're saying, how is this going to help the middle 60%?
Nice. Okay, do you have any tips for anyone out there who might want to build some type of online learning community or resource since you've done a lot of it? Any tips you'd like to share?
Yeah, so the first is to be very careful with the amount of work that you're trying to bite off, especially if you're a one-person team.
Yeah.
I think it's tempting to say, oh, I would love to create this monthly membership training community sort of thing. And it's easy to bite off more than you can chew. And it's hard to realize just how difficult it is to keep a constant drumbeat of new content and engagement happening within your community. So if it's your first time out, I would recommend that you create a one-off course instead of a monthly recurring sort of thing where you pick a price, you decide what you're going to teach people, you try to fit it within a specifically bounded, you know, period of time, and just aim for like maybe a 4-week course or an 8-week course or something.
Yeah.
And break that down into one or two primary things that you want to teach people each week. So if it's an 8-week course, maybe there are 8 specific chapters or courses or lessons or whatever you want to call it, and aim to teach people just something concrete that they can learn within a half hour or so each week, and really just start there. Start almost to the point where it feels ridiculously small or self-contained, because to you, it might seem like this tiny thing, but once you get people in there and they start learning, they'll probably feel like there's a lot there, because you have to recognize that the people who join your course, their lives are really busy, and they will probably appreciate if you're able to teach them something meaningful in a really compact period of time, because it just increases the likelihood that they can actually follow through and do it. I wrote a blog post yesterday or the day before. I took this concept of personal branding, which is this like really big concept, and people tend to write entire guides on it, which are like multi-chapter guides.
Right.
And those guides, I think, get shared a decent amount, but they don't actually get read that much because, you know, you just like me and everybody else today, it's like we have so much content flying by us every day.
Yeah.
You don't have time to sit down and focus. And so I took that idea of this like big concept of personal branding, and I said, wait a second, like we are way overcomplicating this and nobody's paying attention to anything you're saying anyway. Could I explain this concept in 200 words? And so I limited myself to 200 words and I wrote a blog post, the 200 word guide to personal branding. And we've gotten a ton of great feedback on it. Some people on my team thought this is kind of a cop out to write a 200 word article. But what we're finding is that people are so thankful when they see a title that says it's 200 words, they think, oh, I can read this because
right.
it's going to take me 3 minutes. Instead of like we do with every other article these days, which is you start skimming and then you're like squirrel and you run and do something else. So the same is true for your course. Keep it bite-sized and manageable, and the people who take your course will appreciate it because they will be more likely to actually complete it.
Nice. So last two questions for you. What is your why? Why do you do all this craziness, Corbin?
So my why is very simple. I am a big believer in the power of entrepreneurship to change lives, to change customers' lives for the better, entrepreneurs' lives for the better. And I even believe that entrepreneurship can change communities. And I'm a much happier person. And the people that I surround myself now with tend to be entrepreneurs just because those are the friends that I've made. And I see the impact that they're having on their own lives and their customers' lives and how the people around them, their families, are much happier as well. So I'm just a big believer in entrepreneurship versus working in a situation where you don't care about right. the job that you do, which is what most people do. And so that's it for me, simply. I love it, and I want other people to experience it.
Nice. So where can people find out more about Corbett Barr and Fizzle?
So if you go to fizzle.co, you will see an example of one of those videos that we've been talking so much about. You'll see some of the techniques that we use to make our videos fun and engaging. And from there, you can check out our blog. We have hundreds and hundreds of articles about different topics that will help you become a successful entrepreneur. And we also have a podcast that is now 122 episodes in called The Fizzle Show. It's free. It's about an hour long each week. And we have four different voices on there now, including a female perspective. You can find that on iTunes, or you can find that over at fizzle.co as well.
Very nice. Corbett, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Janelle.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Corbett Barr. It was really cool to get an inside look at how he and his co-founders created Fizzle. If you want to check out Fizzle, head over to fizzle.co, that's fizzle.co, and sign up for the 30-day trial. You won't regret it. Okay, down to business. If you're looking for the show notes, you can check them out at zencourses.co/008. You'll find all the links and highlights from this episode, as well as that link to Fizzle. Again, that's zencourses.co/008. Last, but certainly not least, if you're enjoying the show, I would be honored if you took 2 minutes out of your day to head over to iTunes and leave an honest review. Reviews and ratings help the show rank higher, which helps people like yourself find out about it. So please take a moment if you can spare it. I read every review and I would love to read yours. All right. I am Janelle Allen, and this has been the Zen Courses Show. See you next time.